Oh, yeah.
Some Phillips on the ones and twos.
Yeah, and the threes and fours. Pretty much all the numbers.
All of the numbers.
Guys, welcome to Gilmore Guys. I am Kevin.
I am Demi.
You are listening to the Stars Holocast, wherein we go through every episode of Gilmore Girls.
Me every from a super one.
Every stupid episode.
I hate this. No.
There is 153, so it is quite an ordeal, quite a test. But you know what? We do it for the fans.
We do it. I do it for the love of Ray J.
Who's that?
You don't know Ray J?
No.
Oh. Again, he's a rapper who has an album called For the Love of Ray J. Anyway.
Flew over my head. You wouldn't believe it.
Look, that's reference. A reference that they would drop in this show.
They would, and I would not get it, and I would have to look it up. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do, because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com. I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace, so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. Oh, boy. Okay, well, Demi, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Cool, me too.
Yeah.
Is this a weird way to check in with one another?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to show you, because I know we've talked about fan art on the show before. There was a great, great fan, Abby Bay, I think her name is.
That Abby Bay.
Abby Bay Bay. She made this awesome fan art for us, Fashion of the Christ, with a flower crown and stuff. But guess what?
What?
The fan art auntie just got upped in a big way.
What happened?
Yesterday was my birthday. So we're recording this on October the 12th. October the 11th is my birthday for anyone who cares for the
Happy
future.
Birthday.
Thank you so much. I share it with Michelle Trachtenberg, a pastor named Mark Driscoll, who's since been disgraced from his church shenanigans, and a wedding anniversary of Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Of course.
So that checks out. But I had a party last night, small get together, small gathering. And a friend of mine, Chelsea, gave me this as a gift. I'm showing it to Demi for the first time right now.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my God. I wish you guys could see this. That's terrific.
It's unbelievable.
That's so great.
She did a pin drawing of us Gilmore guys, and it is so perfect. It's not even like, oh, this is a nice thing. It looks kind of cool. It looks really, really good.
It looks terrific.
So we'll tweet that out when we put this episode up. But big, big Gilmore Guys shout out to Chelsea.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Chelsea.
Thank you so much, Chelsea. And I'll be thanking you a little later. Oh, wait a minute.
I just looked at him like, whoa.
whoops. Well, Chelsea, we remain good friends. Hopefully we will be by the time
this comes out. Don't listen to this episode,
Chelsea. Yeah, maybe Chelsea, maybe this is a little too creepy. Anyway, we got to get into the episode, man.
Do we? Yeah.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Episode 107, Kiss and Tell.
Mm.
What happens in this episode, Demi?
Well, God, I wish we had like Price is Right music. According to Netflix, Rory gets her first kiss from Dean and doesn't tell Lorelai. So when she finds out, she sets up a date for the two, and things spiral from there.
Oh shit! Wait, is that really the Netflix description?
And it didn't say spiral, and I took a little liberties with remembering the.
You polished Netflix.
I did.
Oh, that's good. All right, so we're going to kick off the episode the way we kick off every episode discussion by a little segment called Pop
Goes the
Culture. It gets more and more robotic and fresh every time. Pop Goes the Culture. Pop Goes the Culture, 011. So let's listen to
DJ Porter, drop that beat.
I will. This is for episode 108, Kiss and Tell, Pop Goes the Culture.
Yeah, well, by the time that gets to Miss Patty's, it's a scene from 9.5 weeks.
Boogie Nights, maybe.
And that Chuck Heston chin of his.
Prince Charming, huh?
It was a long time ago. And not the Cinderella one, the Sleeping Beauty.
Not gonna talk about how good you'd look dressed like one of the guys from The Crucible.
He likes Nick Drake and Liz Phair and the sugar plastic.
You're gonna quote Freud to me because I'll push you in front of a moving car. I was watching General Hospital the other day. And, you know, they have a new Lucky because the old Lucky went to go play something where he could have a real name.
Yeah, it's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, that's nice. Isn't that the one with Gene Hackman?
Gene Wilder.
The theme from Ice Castles makes you cry.
No James Dean jokes, no father with a shotgun stares, no Nancy Walker impressions.
Oh, come on.
She had a bad reaction to Magnolia. She sat there screaming for 3 hours, I want my life back.
How much does it suck that they use Pink Moon in a Volkswagen commercial?
I'm going to be so cool in there. You will mistake me for Shaft.
At the end of The Way We Were, you wanted Robert Redford to dump his wife and kid for Barbara Streisand.
You're like a crazy Elsa Clench.
Oh, thank you.
Who is Elsa Clench?
I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Let's look it up.
Yeah, why do we never Google the references we don't understand? If this were a class, we would fail it.
But it's not a class.
Thank God.
So we're succeeding in it.
Yeah.
Elsa Clench.
She's an Australian-American journalist and novelist.
Is that true?
Yeah. Producer and host of her own show on CNN's weekly fashion and design television program.
So how does that fit? You're like an Elsa, a less crazy Elsa, whatever she says. I don't know how that fits. There's a lot of movie references in this one.
My favorite movie reference is Boogie Nights, because have you seen Boogie Nights?
Oh, yeah.
What 16-year-old's like, you know, I should watch with the girl that I like and her mom for the first time?
Ha.
Fucking Boogie Nights. Let's see Mark Wahlberg's dick and a movie about the porn industry.
Maybe he was kidding.
Maybe, but it seemed very earnest.
I don't know. There's a lot of questionable Dean stuff in this.
There is.
But let's open with the teaser. Let's talk about it. It's a really nice wonder of them walking through the town. You see Miss Patty, you know, teaching the kids the autumn dance, whatever that is.
I love so much that this is like a seasonal episode, because I feel like I wish that every season, like, Miss Patty would be teaching a new, like, St. Patrick's Day, all the kids are in green, Miss Patty's still just twirling around.
Labor Day, everyone wears white.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, finally in this introduction, we are introduced to Taylor Doozy.
Doozy.
It's a doozy, bro.
Every other store in town has fall decorations.
Well, hurrah for the mob mentality.
We're talking a few streamers and a paper turkey. How is it going to hurt to have a paper turkey?
No turkeys, no squash, no pumpkins, nothing colored orange.
Okay, so you don't like orange. That's fine. Autumn has many varied hues to toy with.
Him and Luke are like one of the key dynamics of like the town.
Yeah.
Because Luke represents kind of the... basically, the grumpy hippie.
Right.
And Taylor is the way more conservative, town values and cultural values, tradition, blah, blah, blah. And it's so fun. It's so fun to watch. Yeah. And in this, you get to see the dynamic of Lorelai and Rory that they have in all the town meetings coming up. I think the first one's in the next episode. But where they're just kind of standing at the sidelines and making fun of everything, because they're pretty much razzing their whole conversation as it happens.
And it's great. In this one, they were doing a back and forth with, like, the can I get coffee and muffins? I want some coffee and some muffins. It was fun.
And then she said, my mom's not wearing any underwear.
Indeed.
Mm-mm-mm. Written by Jinji Kohan.
Yeah, I saw that.
How about that? Gilmore's the new black, you know what I mean? No? Okay.
Gilmore Weeds.
Gilmore Weeds. What other shows have she done?
That's it.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's
actually, fun fact, her first show that she ever wrote on was Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Woo!
Yeah.
Aha. That must be quite a track. Miami. Those are things he says.
Those are things he says,
so,
indeed.
So, Dean and Rory are in Doocy's Market. Taylor Doocy. Or is it Doocy?
I think it's Doocy.
It is Doocy?
It is, because I remember seeing... I was like, they said Doocy, and then I saw how it was spelled, and I was like, really? That's how Doocy is spelled?
It just reminds me of Steve Doocy from Fox and Friends. I grew up in a conservative home. if you could not tell. So Dean and Rory have a little bit with the pop, soda, haha, look at our differences.
Yeah.
I'm from Chicago, I'm not.
I just came to get some cornstarch.
And then, dude.
It happens.
It happens.
Oh boy,
He puts the soda in the pop behind his back or whatever it is. He's like, I don't know, pick which one. And they do blah, 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 blah. And then he leans in and just...
just plants one on her.
Just goes to town on
and
that.
And what
road.
Does she say?
She says, thank you.
And so adorable.
Runs across the town square.
Yeah.
She is so exasperated. And I think Alexis is great. Even though... let's address this real quick. So because this is such a Rory-centric episode...
yeah, you would think that she would be here to talk
right. about it. We wanted her to be on the show. She's canceled a few times in the past, but, you know, we thought, give her another shot. Always forgiveness. She canceled again.
Yeah.
This time she said she was going to space.
I think she might have lied.
About going to space?
Yeah.
I don't even think the space program is open to civilians. So it doesn't make sense, first of all. And then second of all, tell us before. Don't tell us the day of. That's why we have no guests.
If you're going to space, it's not a spur of the moment thing. You're not just like,
yeah, you got to plan it out like hardcore.
So,
so
a bit upset.
It's very upsetting, but we're gonna carry on without her. But going back to this moment, he leans in, kisses her, thank you, runs across the town square. When she gets to Lane's house and says,
"I got kissed, and I shoplifted."
That's great. She nails that so well. I love that moment. And this is when I'm like, you know what, Alexis? I got faith in you. Because sometimes I'm like, I don't know. That thing where you were on the bus with Dean and you screamed, that's pretty forced. But now I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Alexis, you're all right.
She's getting her chops.
Fine by me. Mrs. Kim walks in, says, who were you kissing?
The Lord, Mama.
The Lord, Mama. She's like, oh, okay. Is this, okay, here's what I was thinking about. Is this actually racist? Because most of the time, the cultural, we've debated a little bit back and forth, and like, is the characterization of Mrs. Kim racist? Emily Kuroda does not naturally have a thick accent like she does on the show. She has like an Americanized normal accent.
See, when you said that, I was thinking about that the entire time that there's a scene where Lorelai goes to pick up the chair that she's left there for 6 weeks. And it's the first time that we hear Miss Kim talk a lot, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it, like, if she doesn't have that accent naturally, then she's really good at faking it. Because it doesn't sound like a racist, like, it's not
overly. Mickey Rooney and Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Right.
R.I.P.
But it's also, I don't know, it's just, it's so weird that they would have her do that accent. Maybe they just wanted, they casted someone that looked like Keiko, and then they were like, oh, it would make more sense for her to have an accent. I don't know.
But Keiko doesn't have an accent.
No.
So, I don't, but anyway, what I was thinking about is that the pressure and the way that Mrs. Kim is with Lane, the tenor of their relationship is not... focus on academia, or like, you need to play the cello 8 hours a day. Like, it might be in a more stereotypical thing. It's like, it's religious pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like Seventh-day Adventist, and it's like, ooh, the Lord, and hymns and stuff, and you see a lot more of that as the show goes on. So in light of that, I'm going to say it's not racist.
Let's put the stamp on it.
All right, no racism.
Not racist.
Am I a good judge of that as a white male living in America? What's racist and what's not?
Yeah. Okay, oh, back to the topic at hand, the kiss. Was that a weird way to spring it on her?
Where it wasn't like in context at all.
He kind of just like tricks her into...
It was in a market in the middle of the day?
Yeah.
Day kisses for a first kiss of any kind in a relationship.
While
or whatever.
He's working, it seemed like if I were Deucey and I just saw him like flirting with this girl and then kiss her and then she runs away, I'd be like, I should find out more about what just happened.
I should
in the
fire
shop.
This man.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know if I'm okay with this guy.
So
who can't make a Mayflower out of cans and can't like just kisses people in the middle of the shop.
Yeah, in a way, I mean, this show is full of really bad employees between him and Michelle.
Yeah, that's true.
Not a lot of good workers in Stars Hollow. But it is, I mean, your first kiss was probably at night, right?
Yes.
So is mine.
Right. It's just...
It's just the way things are done. Very,
follow tradition, yeah, Dean.
For real. Maybe there's a lot of day kissing in Chicago, where Dean's from.
Yeah.
But not here in Stars Hollow.
The time zone
sure.
is different. Maybe he's just like, oh, I'm sorry. In my hometown, it's about 7 o'clock right now.
So Rory wants to tell Lorelai, but she sinks immediately back. She sees Lorelai in a bad mood.
Yeah.
And she throws a tantrum, Lorelai does, and says at one point, I hate my life.
Yeah, I'm useless, and I hate my life. And actually, because there's a good fashion moment in this part, can we get to the fashion segment?
Sure, let's do it.
Fashion. This is so synchronized. Her shoes. Did you notice her shoes in this scene?
No.
They were pink alligator shoes when she's fixing the fridge.
Yeah?
I saw her, like, sitting in there, and I was like, there's something, like, very bright pink in the scene. And I was like, it's her shoes.
Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy. And the only thing I can think of, have you seen the movie Black Dynamite?
Parts of it.
Oh, no. My God. It's so funny. You should watch all of it multiple times.
Okay.
But there's one thing where it's like, how did you know that guy in the donut suit was a bad guy? And he's like, one thing, donuts don't wear alligator shoes. And they pan down to his shoes that are just these like nice white alligator shoes. And I was just thinking about like, why is she wearing that?
She's wearing pink alligator shoes.
And like this tie-dye shirt and I think maybe overalls? No.
Tie-dye shirt, yes.
Overalls probably
not. It might be overall, but she's wearing a bandana on that. Yeah, as is such the style in the show.
It was like spring cleaning day. Yeah. I don't know.
Sure.
But I remember that a lot. And then also, obviously, the no underwear is a thing. And it's so funny that Luke had that line, don't sit on any cold benches.
That was a good
zinger.
That
was so great.
Nailed it, Luke. This is the first time where I'm like, yeah, Luke.
Good one,
Luke. You got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
And then the bonnets. The bonnets that they had to wear.
In the pilgrim costumes. Yeah. I loved those.
Adorable.
I thought those were so, so good. Yeah. Lorelai's leather jacket with the red frills, or the red collar, I guess, not the frills. Not into that.
Really?
No. If the red wasn't there, I think I'd be more into it. Did you like it?
I think I didn't even like note it, but for me, it's weird because I think that's already such a Lorelai outfit.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's worn it before, but I just feel like I see her in it, and I'm like, oh yeah, of course she's wearing that. Maybe it just fits her personality, but I like leather jackets in general, and I think that she looks cool in one, so I probably didn't register it
like
as
the
anything
Fonz.
Weird. I'm all about the Fonz. I'm all about Greece.
My wife.
Hey, the Fonz. My wife.
Hey, Richie, my
hit the
wife.
The jukebox, and it plays a Bare Naked Ladies song.
But, okay, so she comes home. She wants to tell her mom she can't.
Yeah, because she's...
And then Lorelai goes over, and that's when the... Miss Kim has maybe my favorite line of the show. She said, your daughter's kissing.
Yeah.
It was just so harsh and strange. And
she made it sound like she was like doing drugs outside the school or something.
She's kissing boys all over town.
In the grocery store where we buy our food. Oh my God. I didn't, when I...
like it's unsanitary.
Yeah, I don't like they're kissing just like, all right, I kissed you now. Let me kiss this peach.
the plum, it's better than sex.
Try the plum.
You know who else thinks the plum is better than sex? I bet.
Who? Who would you say thinks the plum is better than sex?
Prime Miss Patty. Let's hear from her herself.
Try a plum, they're better than sex.
Ooh.
Rory.
Rory. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
So great. But, yeah, where were we?
Oh, we're talking about when she's over at the antique store, and Mrs. Kim has given her the
business. It was so weird that Mrs. Kim had that information, because, like, I thought when Lane went, the Lord, Mama, and she went, oh, like, obviously she didn't think that was what was happening, but, like, was she also just eavesdropping on the rest of the conversation?
I think the implication as the show goes on, as the episode goes on, is that everyone in the town just knows.
Right.
Magically. Someone probably saw them in the market, like a third party, who told Miss Patty, who told Babette.
There are like 20 people in the town.
There's literally 20 people in the town.
It's such as, this was the first of many times that every time they go into the market, or if you see the outside of Mrs. Kim's house, I think Warner Brothers lot.
Totally.
Because they do a shot where they show her running from the market to Mrs. Kim's house, and you can see the entire block, and that's like all you ever see of Stars Hollow is that one block that everything apparently happens on. But I was like, no, this, like, no one lives in that house. No one lives over there. There's a stoop there. That can't be, like, I don't know. It was very much a Halloween, or not a Halloween, what am I saying? It was very much a Warner Brothers lot shot.
Totally. And I think you go into some of the other buildings at some point in future episodes, but not immediately.
Yeah.
It takes a little time. They have to get a budget to get in there.
I want to talk about Lane for a little bit.
Let's do it.
This, I just realized, because I guess maybe like the way that they've been dressing her in previous episodes, I never really thought of anything of it. She's older than Rory. Like, not in the character of the show, but like Keiko is older than Alexis Bledel by like 8 years.
Yeah, she's 41 currently.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. I couldn't tell before, but this is the first time I was like, wait a minute, she looks like she's older. She was 28 when this was shot.
Yeah.
So weird casting choice. Is that unreal? Very.
Do you think she looks super old?
No, she doesn't. But in this, only in this one, I like something about her just was like, she looks like she might be like a older friend of Rory's. Like, yeah. Maybe she was, I don't know, 19 or
she was like hanging out at the bus stop or something.
Yeah, I don't know. She's just like the cool smoking kid that like takes Rory under her wing.
Yeah.
But
that's not racist that Asians don't age that fast.
I didn't even think about that. No. Why do you keep pulling out stereotypes that don't exist? God.
I don't know.
It's fine.
Demi, I don't have a lot of black friends.
You got me, and that's all you need.
Yeah, that's racist. Right. You're all the black I need.
This is going to be a heavily edited episode. No, I'm kidding.
Ooh, boy. So no. Lorelai tries to get the issue with Rory, mm-hmm. and she kind of dances around it. Rory doesn't fess up when they're in Luke's. And then Rory's like, bye-bye. And then she goes to the market to check out Dean.
Yeah.
And here's one of my favorite things in the episode, because I really do feel it's such a small moment and it's really understated, but in the course of the show, I feel like it's a really nice moment for the arc, is you see Luke in there as well, and she's like, oh, that's Dean, that's blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
And they go on, like, all three, and they're, like, snooping around, and he becomes her co-conspirator in the scheme of
right.
looking at Dean from a distance. And this is the first time you ever see Luke smile.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I noticed that because he's like, he's into it, right?
Yeah.
So it's like for him, this like, oh, I get to play with you and be a part of this. And
eventually, doesn't he pull her out of the market though? Just like, you got to stop doing
yeah.
this. Yeah. And that was, they had like the back and forth that Lorelai has with everyone. She has it with Max all the time. And when she had it with Luke, I was like, oh, I can see something building there. And because she always goes back to Luke as if they're very good friends, even yeah. though their relationship is just very like, oh, whatever, give me my coffee. Oh, you're the worst. But
I know, it's not very well built as of right now.
But the back and forth was so good. And it just, I don't know, made me feel very good about their relationship. And the way that Luke is like looking out for Lorelai in a way.
And Lorelai says to Luke, this is either before or after they go into the market, he reminds me of Christopher, the hair, the build, the eyes. We meet Christopher later, and he does not, especially the hair.
Really?
Not remind, I mean, maybe it was his hair at one point in the past, but definitely not now.
Yeah.
They are not reminiscent of each other. So I wonder if that's like a character thing, like she's projecting all that stuff, like, oh, he's just like her. And it's like, no,
probably.
Not
I
really at
that.
All. Or if it was like just poor foresight for casting. And yeah, just like, so she's, the fear is like she has a similar taste in men.
Yeah.
She's going to ruin her life.
She's
going to
get pregnant
blah.
Early.
Yeah. So eventually they do find out, or Lorelai does find out.
Right.
Because she's like, I ain't kissing boys lately. And so they have a chat about it, and then they do have a public fight outside. And in this is where Lorelai is concerned about being kind of like an Emily type to Rory.
Yeah.
And she's so offended by the nature, because she's like, oh, you're just being like your mom right now. And that is like Lorelai's kryptonite, essentially, is comparisons to her mother.
Yeah,
she can take everything.
She's on the verge of tears
yeah.
when she says that.
It like it really hits hard, so I yeah. guess it goes like, that's the intimacy of their relationship. That can be like that. So they go to the market, pick up a bunch of garbage food again.
When they were picking up the food, like she kept like mentioning things and picking up things. And I was like, is this a gag? This is too much food. Like they can't eat this all the night. But
and then they show it all.
Yeah.
So, yes, they can. I wonder if we should do like a food report where we just talk about then they ate this thing and then they ate this thing.
Red vines, popcorn, pizza, marshmallows.
Hey, red vines. I know you want it. I know you want it.
That's those a fun, are gross.
That's a timely parody, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Robin Thicke, we don't love you.
Please stay away from the show.
Don't ever come on. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
They go in the market, and not to get racial again, but this is the first speaking part from a black person
it
in the whole show.
It is. I noticed that.
And she,
her name is Debbie, and we only know that because it's on her name tag.
It's on her name tag. She doesn't actually get to say, hi, nope. My name is Debbie. And her line is, and we heard it in Pop Goes the Culture, but she says, oh, Willy Wonka, is that the one with Gene Hackman or Gene Wilder? Or that's the one with Gene Hackman, right? And then Dean's like, Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
So the show's like, oh, he knows about culture.
Oh, you're a Willy Wonka man.
I'm a Wonka man. Let's, for a second, imagine a world. Imagine Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory starring Gene Wilder or Gene Hackman.
It's a lot more sedated. He probably doesn't. He's just like, come on, guys.
There's some imagination. It's pure.
This boat's pretty fucked up. I don't want to do this.
The tunnel would be even scarier.
I'm imagining like a bitter Welcome to Mooseport Gene Hackman for some reason.
That was the last feature film he's appeared in. As to date.
Yeah. Not like he's slated to do more, but I'm wondering, is he? He's probably retired.
I think he is.
Yeah.
It's going to be a Sean Connery situation where his last thing was the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Was that Sean Connery's last?
Yeah.
Oh, Sean.
I saw pictures of him. He's not looking so good.
Not looking so hot. Sean, we love you. Please get better and then come on the show.
Get better. Better.
So, obviously, the big crux of the main thing that happens in this episode is when Lorelai, Dean comes out of the market to give her red vines while Rory is off at the Blockbuster or whatever nondescript video store they had to make up. But
back when video stores existed, so you know this is like 14 years ago.
They very much date themselves on that one.
They're not like, hey, let's stream it from iTunes. They're like, hey, let's rent a video.
Yeah, they don't even go like, hey, you want to hit up the Redbox around the corner? But
they don't even say, yeah, they don't even say any of those.
So he comes out to give her the red vines, and I almost screamed at the TV when Lorelai is just like, hey, why don't you come to our movie night? Because I don't think any parent in their right mind would be like, that's a good move. I would.
Really? I disagree.
Really?
Well, I don't know. That might have been stupid of Lorelai. Do you think it was underhand of her? Like, she was.
I don't think she had bad intentions or anything. I think she was
like, this is my moment. I got to seize, like, Dean and give him, like, a talk or
something.
Yeah,
but I thought, like, she knows how nervous she is about him. I don't think that does she think that Rory would have been like, you invited Dean over? Oh, my God, thank you. Like,
just what I wanted.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think she would have done that.
I just feel like that's something. I don't know. I just, like, I like the idea of parents being friendly with the people that their kids are dating. And that's a nice idea. And so inviting, like, Dean over, I think would make sense.
I think it just might be out of character for Lorelai, who knows that Rory is not, like, all gung-ho to be very public with this.
Right.
Not even really relationship, just boy that she likes that kissed her.
But, so yeah. It was tone-deaf, but was it, like, willfully tone-deaf?
No. Yeah. I think she definitely. She just didn't have the right idea, but like she was, her heart was in the right place.
Lorelai's fallibility again. Yeah. She's not an infallible woman.
So for some reason, when Dean shows up at their house, everyone in the town comes out to be like, we gotta see this kid.
This is weird. I mean, to me, it's like cute and Babette has. I love the line where she's like, do you like jazz?
Yeah.
And Maury's like, stay cool. Stay cool,
kid. I will.
So good. But is it creepy how much of the town is invested in this relationship that a 16-year-old girl has with a boy?
I don't know if it's a little bit strange. I don't know if it's creepy per se. Everyone in this town is creepy in a way. We've established that. But there's just a weird fascination. We're just like, Rory's dating a boy? Oh, this is the only thing happening. We should figure it out. I don't know.
Even Suki was like, this is the first time I was like, Suki, no.
Yeah. No. I guess they had to get her in there because it's like, we're paying Melissa McCarthy no matter what.
Yeah.
We got to get her in this episode somehow.
Is she in every episode?
Yes.
Was she in the last one? Yeah, she was.
Actually,
the last one.
Emily and Richard aren't in this episode, but
they are not, which automatically.
But I mean, they're and special appearances by in the credits, so maybe they don't have to be in every episode.
No, but they don't. They get paid per episode, I believe. Mm. I think it is a budget thing. Talking money right now.
Was Michelle in this episode?
Michelle. I don't remember.
Did they even go to the inn? I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Probably not.
And this is pretty much the Dean and Rory story.
It is the whole time. The Dean and Rory story.
So Suki's a disaster.
She shows up
when the pizza guy comes up.
Looks like Matt Stone.
Who's Matt Stone?
South Park.
Oh, Trey Parker.
Matt Stone. Really?
Huh? No. Okay. I'm not correcting you. I'm just saying, that's who it is.
Yeah, I was mixed up too. But yeah, he looks like one of the South Park dudes.
They really nail the dialogue when Dean's over and they're like getting settled in and Lorelai's like, yeah, the trees or something, you know?
Yeah.
It is very like momish. Yeah, so do you like movies, you know?
Yeah, they settle into it though very well when they are talking about like they're watching Willy Wonka, and she talks about her Oompa Loompa fantasy, which is so weird that she Oompa has that Loompa fantasy.
Doobity-doo.
Yeah.
Doobity-doo.
It's so weird that she has that fantasy and shares it so openly, just like, this is whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. And then, like, she makes fun of Rory for her Prince Charming fantasy, and Dean's like, oh, yeah, because he can dance. I've got sisters. And then they start...
that's a moment where they're like, oh, he might understand women.
Exactly, too. Yeah. They're like, breaking down barriers. This guy's a good one. But I love that they – one of my favorite things that they did in this episode was when they start making fun of him by, like, making up fantasies for him. And he's just like, no, that's not true. I loved it because it was the, like, they were all bonding in that moment. It didn't feel awkward.
Yeah, and that was so like, the pleasant moment of acceptance. Like, okay, we're shitting on you.
Yeah.
Well, maybe something a little less violent sounding. We're razzing you. So that was the nice moment. Where it's like, yeah, we accept you. And I feel like for my own family, personally, that's how we show a lot of love to each other. It's like being sarcastic and making fun of each other. So that was a moment where it's like, hey, baby, you're in.
Yeah.
You're in, baby.
You're in, baby.
Oh, man. Why are they all sitting on the floor, though? There's a couch.
Yeah.
There's a chair.
I didn't know that either. Maybe there's like, this TV is too tiny and it's the 2000s, so we got to get closer. It was very... I don't know. I didn't make a note of it, but I was just like, I mean, I made a mental note of it, but I didn't think any more of it. I was just like, yeah, they're on the floor. Okay. They're checks away out from all the food they ordered.
I do see the appeal of sitting on the floor sometimes. We're both, full disclosure, we're both on the floor now eating pizza.
Yep. Watching Willy Wonka on mute because this is a podcast.
Right. And that would be rude.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're taking copious notes for our Willy Wonka podcast.
The Willy Wonka
Wonders. Nope. The Willy Wonka. How about I'm Willy Wonka and you're the chocolate?
Yeah. Yes, I love it. Kevin's face is very much, I can't believe I just said that, and I am in full support of him. Because I would love to be. We could, if we started like a rap duo where it's like DJ Willy Wonka and I'm the chocolate factory, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be Hannibal? I heard Hannibal.
And I'm the chocolate factory. You're Willy Wonka, and I'm the chocolate factory.
I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
There's a very... I don't want to get to funny... Actually, we should talk about one more thing before we get to favorite moments and lines. When Rory, quote-unquote, goes to wash her face, and it's just Lorelai and Dean, and they have that talk, Dean is so sassy. Someone who has to impress her.
I hated that.
I was like, Dean, be cool.
Yeah, just be a nice guy. Yeah.
Like, it worked for him in the end because he was just like, no, I have to say something to you. And I was like, oh my God, this is not going to be good.
I hated it. I hated Dean in this moment. Because he goes, here comes the talk.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, here comes the talk. Be respectful, young man.
What did she say to him? Just like, I don't know, she said something to the effect of, like, shut up, I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah, good.
And I was like, correct. Like,
good for you, Lorelai.
This is the girl you want to date, and this is her mom. Be a little bit more nice.
To me, that was crazy that he was like that. I hated that so much.
I did, too. Because I also felt very uncharacteristic. We've never seen any backbone from him at this point. It just felt weird.
Just be a spineless jellyfish,
dude. Yeah, dude.
Because to me, it was very disappointing.
Then he made like an I'm going to...
There's like, no matter how many rules, no matter
how... I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, creepo.
You're going to have to chase me out of town. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
This is just some girl you kissed in the market, like, out of nowhere. You sprung it on her.
And also, I feel like this is kind of a writing mistake, maybe. Sorry, Amy. Or Gingy.
Yeah.
The level of knowledge that he expressed at the intimacy and importance of their relationship.
Yeah.
I thought was...
After the first time of meeting them?
Yeah. Because he's like... Rory, you're Rory's best friend. She cares about your opinion so, so much. So I guess maybe the idea is that Rory has told him all that. But he hasn't experienced that at all.
Right, of course.
He hasn't seen that. So it does seem like a bit of a leap to be like, yeah, you know, you and Rory are BFF. And I know that. I have intimate knowledge of that because he doesn't.
He really doesn't. Yeah. I don't know. It's a nice, if nothing else, it's very annoying in Dean's pushiness, but it's nice in seeing how much he, like, stands up for this relationship that he wants to have. Like, I wish he did it in a kinder manner, just like if he let her talk and then just like, can I say something? I really like Rory or something.
Yeah, and just be like, just play by the house rules. Don't
exactly
give lip. Oh, that really, really bugged me.
Hey, fucker, I like her.
Seriously. Yeah. Just earned the explicit rating.
There we go.
Yeah, there all we right. go. There we go.
Favorite
there
lines, go. Favorite moments.
Oh, when Lorelai invites Dean at the market, he goes, I know where you live. Oh,
yeah.
How much? Gosh.
You didn't have to say that. Just let her give you the address.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Maybe the best line of the whole show up to this point. All
do
the
you
episodes.
Like jazz?
Do you like jazz, sugar?
But what's your...
It might be...
I hope we have the same one.
He's in Rory's bedroom, and he holds up a chicken and goes,
Nice chicken. That wasn't my favorite, but I did love it. There were some really good reference lines here. There was Nice Chicken. There was the Volkswagen. Like, do you hate that they use Pink Moon in a Volkswagen commercial?
Oh, yeah, I'm this outraged.
This is such a hip, like, they just, like, all of the music in the show has got to be hip. We're using Nick Drake, Liz Phair. Like, it was...
Yeah.
But my favorite line, I thought it was so funny, was when... She's saying, I said, thank you, when he kissed me. And Lorelai's like, he kissed you again? What, is he just out of prison or something?
Yes. That's my second favorite line.
I loved it so much.
Just out of prison?
God. That was just, it was just perfect because, I mean, it fit. And also, like, it was wrong in her assumption, but it was just, I don't know. It was the kind of line that I think they came up in the writer's room and was like, we got to put this in here somewhere. And it was great.
Or when Rory's like, not with my mother. And she said, stop saying mother like that.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
what? Like there's supposed to be another word after it.
Yeah.
So perfect.
God,
so
Lorelai is so, she's a zinger for sure.
She's on her ish, man. Regular Henny Youngman, Emily called out.
It's a natural Peyton Place.
Peyton Place, baby. Are we gonna
baby.
Are we gonna start a Peyton Place Pals podcast?
We got to.
The Peyton podcast. Porter and Pals on Peyton. Or maybe I just talk about Peyton Reed, the director of Ant-Man.
Just one Peyton per episode.
We focus on different Peyton each episode of the show.
How many could there be? But that's what the podcast is there to figure out.
That's
maybe
right.
It's two episodes. Maybe it's 40.
It's a limited run podcast. I mean, technically, all podcasts are limited runs because we all die at some point.
At some point.
But not anytime soon.
Yeah. I'm going to live forever. That's the cool thing about me.
Fame? Like in Fame?
Yeah.
I just realized that what we did is the exact exchange in a season 2 episode of Gilmore Girls.
Seriously?
Someone says, I'm going to live forever. And someone says, like in Fame.
Oh, man.
So, man, we're just really
and
living
here
out.
We are saying that no one really talks like that.
And yet we do IRL.
That's just us.
In real life. So, that's the show. Should we give a rating? We're actually pretty short. We're...
Wow.
38 minutes into it.
Let's give a rating.
All right, let's do it.
Actually, I want to talk about something funny that happened in this episode, which is Rory bringing the cornstarch out of her bag and placing it on the mantle like a
yes,
trophy.
It was like so... Oh, I
it was half
this
adorable,
cornstarch
half,
now.
Like, is she going to build a shrine to him?
I do that, though. I mean, I keep weird keepsakes.
I know, I understand it, but it was like... I thought that she would return the cornstarch, but she's just like, no.
No, she's a thief.
I would love for Lorelai to come into her room sometimes. She's like, what is this? It's like, oh, he kissed me and I was holding that.
And I've shoplifted and that's where it is now.
Okay.
And, hey, for you, true blue gillies out there, the Gilmore heads.
For the gill heads.
For the gildos. Oh, no, that's probably not bad. Mm. That's bad.
One step back.
If you notice, she steals the cornstarch. And we'll see in future seasons, this is a foreshadowing.
No way.
Of other things that she might steal. I
can't tell if you're messing
with me. That's the teaser. No, okay. No, this is true. I'm not going to give anything
away.
Does
she steal something every time she kisses someone?
Yeah, it just escalates. Like, when she kisses the next guy, she steals, like, a car the next episode.
She loses her virginity, and then the Winona Ryder incident happens.
Yeah. Deep cut to 2003?
Yeah.
Two?
I wouldn't say it's a deep cut. It happened after this show.
Yeah.
It's a pretty deep cut.
So what
I don't know if you're out there, we love you. Come on the show, please.
Hey, we'll fulfill every requirement in your tour rider that you give us. Like a rider like specified.
No, I get it. I get it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Demi. Oops. I'm sorry, Mary. Weren't we gonna call each other Mary?
Yes, we were
during
Mary.
This podcast? All right, Mary, what do you give this episode?
I give this episode 3 out of 5 boxes of cornstarch.
I'm going to say 4 out of 5 chickens.
Nice.
Because it's not a 5 out of 5, but just Lorelai laying down the law is great, and I just love her in that moment.
I'm already going to push mine up to 3.5, because I remember I was going to say, this episode was nice if nothing happened. Like, no punches pulled, but it's a nice episode.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Some characters' favorites missing, but...
Yeah, no Kirk in this episode.
No Kirk, no Miss Patty.
Miss Patty barely has anything to do.
No Emily or Richard.
Richard. Lorelai. That's my Emily Gilmore impression.
Oh. That's my Richard impression.
Rory, you're tall. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to the Stars Holocast. This is our shortest episode ever. Yeah. We are at 40 minutes currently,
which means
after I edit it down and take out all the... really offensive stuff, it'll be about 32.
Let's sing the song in slow-mo, perhaps, to get this. No, we can't.
We... could we? No, I don't think I know how.
You're on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name, and I'll be there on the next train.
Choo-choo,
where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to.
Can't harmonize it.
If you need me to be with you, I will follow.
Oh,
oh,
oh! Where you lead,
I will follow.
Anywhere that you tell me to. Bad harmony.
You need me to be with you, I will follow. Where you lead.
That's the show.